Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you today. It's Tuesday morning, September 16th. No, it's the 15th. The 15th. I blew it right there. September 15th, 2020. Trust you had a great weekend and all is going well in your world. We want to welcome you to the broadcast right now on Facebook, YouTube, Blog Talk Radio, and Omega Radio. We've been getting people calling in from as far as Malaysia and in Israel and the Middle East and in Africa, South America. Technology is pretty amazing. The cry of our heart was last week when a young person begged us from South Africa to pray for the slaughter that was going on in their village and amongst their people. And we heard that cry and really didn't know what to do with it. I mean, we're sitting here comfortably in the United States and an individual's praying, dear God, have mercy on our country. And the idea that people were being afflicted and people were being tormented was a very difficult thing to hear. So we want to pray for the Christians in South Africa. We want to pray for the Christians in Nigeria. It is genocidal persecution that's going on in Nigeria, much like it was during Syria. And it always comes, you know, with this Christian persecution. I know Muslims have been persecuted in different parts of the world as well. So as Christians, as believers, we should always be praying, as you know, for all humanity, that the human race is really the object of Satan's agenda to kill and destroy everything that produces the likeness of the Creator. And I know the enemy is very clever, and I know that he uses different people groups against one another, and we understand this. Muslims against Christians, Jews against whoever, et cetera, against the Jews. But in reality, while the blacks are fighting the whites and the whites are fighting the browns and the yellows are fighting the reds, while all this is going on, behind the scenes, what we understand is that the adversary, the enemy, Satan, is doing everything he can to destroy ultimately all human life. I mean, that's a reality check, isn't it? I mean, he may have the whole world according to the book of Revelation, chapter 13, in the last days, worshiping him. I mean, this is his ultimate objective, is because of the pride of his heart, that the nations of the earth will honor him, will praise him. You know, this is the Luciferian spirit out of Isaiah chapter 14, that I will ascend above the stars of heaven. I will sit in the sides of the north. I will be worshiped. I will be his God. I mean, that's the insanity of the spirit that is operating behind the scenes and everything going on in the world today. And even though we see this horizontal conflict of humans against humans, which has been going on since the fall of Adam, when Cain murdered Abel, this conflict is in the human race. But behind the scenes is the bloodthirst of a demonic spirit called Satan, called Lucifer, demonic evil, wickedness. And while Jesus Christ has come into the world to unite humanity and to reconcile humanity back to the Creator, there has been resistance and opposition because, you know, the religion of Jesus doesn't meet up with the religion of the Jews and the religion of the Muslims and the philosophy of the, different Hindu groups or the Buddhist way of life. And so there's this constant opposition, this total polarization within humanity, and it is veiled deception is what it is, because they're not all right. I mean, the Muslim faith and the Jewish faith and the Christian faith are not in agreement, and Buddhism and Hinduism and all of these Middle Eastern isms and philosophies of New Age and all of that, obviously somebody's wrong. And yet we boast as Christians, and I believe we have the truth, because no other religion in the world could ever boast that their Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody else demonstrated their love by going to a cross and dying for the sins of the whole world in a perfect sacrifice without blemish, a perfect bloodline, offering. So I believe that the revelation of Yeshua, Jesus Christ, is the perfect truth. Sometimes we have a difficult time of administering that truth and convincing other human beings of that truth. And yet it's so awesome to sit back and hear that people from the Middle East are converting to their faith in Christ. Why? Because the missionaries that are in the Middle East, the missionaries that are laying their lives down for the cause of bringing Christ to humanity. And we hear about in other parts of the world, in the underground churches of China that are winning Buddhists and go to India and the war to bring Christ to these different people groups around the world. We're all human beings. You know, the funny thing about humanity is if you slice us, we all bleed the same red blood. And that is the truth. We don't have different blood. We're all one race of humanity. And what the devil has done in such a masterful work is to try to get people on his side and then ultimately bring them to eternal death and damnation. I mean, in hell, in the lake of fire, in the outer darkness, in damnation, in condemnation, there's not a human being that's going to be buddying with the devil at the end of time. The devil and the false prophet and the beast are going to be thrown into the lake of fire. And everybody whose name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, in other words, all those human beings that have not accepted Christ into their heart are going to be cast into the lake of fire. I'm not the master of that. The Word of God is. That's what it says. That's God's reality. So it should create an urgency in the body of Christ to get the message out. And so we thank God for the missionaries in the Middle East, the missionaries in Asia, the missionaries in Africa. What are they doing? They're fighting against satanic forces to bring the knowledge of Jesus Christ to one soul at a time. And if you're Reinhard Bonnke, you're giving that message to millions of people at a time, which is awesome. Talk about a great harvest of souls. Reinhard Bonnke in the preaching of the gospel, or the Billy Grahams of our generation, or out the century that we have been born out of and into, the Word of God, Jesus Christ being preached in all the world. And then, unfortunately, we get into these sectarian doctrines where we get people born again, and then we go to church, and which denomination are you of, the 3,200, and people wind up getting confused. You know, it's like, well, what do you mean? I thought Christianity was Christianity. I thought Christians were Christians. And yet the enemy of the soul of humanity seeks to divide and conquer, even within the ranks of true believers, setting people against people, one against the other. Now we're witnessing, and you turn on the news and you see that Black Lives Matter are now on an assassination hunt to kill as many cops as they possibly can. You saw that down in Los Angeles, California, where a young person went into a street and took a gun and unsheathed it and shot two police officers sitting in their police car. And it appears that both are going to survive, but it was brutal nonetheless. And the people in Compton that were cheering the shooting. And so we're seeing this angst grow. But what is that? That is behind the scenes, the satanic, not the left, not the liberals, not the Democrats, Satan, the arch enemy of God Almighty and the arch enemy of the God's greatest creation, man, was created in his image and likeness. And you know that God is a God of diversity. Go to the ocean and look at those strange little creatures and you realize, wow, God, what were you doing when you created that beautiful colored fish and alongside of it, that little snail that looks a little weird? Creation. God has this diverse reality of beautiful creation. Some things in our eyes don't look so beautiful, and nonetheless, they're spectacular because they were created in the manner in which they were. The human race is no different. We're all different looking. We all have different skin colors. We all speak a little bit different language. But the reality is we all, if you have red blood on the inside of you, are a creature created in the image and likeness of God. I mean, that's elementary. That's just simple reality. And yet, there's an angst in the creation that is contrary to the will and the purpose of the Creator because of sin initially, and that has spawned. Now, because of the grace of God, because of the gospel, because of Jesus Christ, people have come to him and have been changed. They've had a change. Racists are no longer racist. Hateful people are no longer hateful. There has been a genuine change, a transformation in the heart of mankind. And we're all working this out, whether we're males or females, and we're not viewing. I mean, we all still are not perfect yet. We're working out a salvation with fear and trembling. We're wanting to know the love of God that God wants us to know. We're wanting to know how God feels about everything going on in this earth. We want to view things from his lens. We want to view things from his perspective. And yet we read the scriptures and we realize that what's going on in the world was predicted to go on in the world. And it has nothing to do with God hating anybody or, you know, Christians hating anybody or that type of thing. It has to do with the reality that the rejection of the gospel of Jesus Christ produces the fruits, the ongoing fruits from the Garden of Eden, the fall of man, Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel, that's just an ongoing reality that will culminate into a demonic force in the last days where we will see nation rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom in ways we've never seen before, that the hostility of the powers of darkness will continue to run rampant in the nations of the earth. And Christians need to know their place in this end time battle. And that's what we're going to talk about today. What is the rightful place of a true Christian living in the time where those who have rejected the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know, and I know, if you're a born again Christian, you're not going to take a weapon, walk up to a police car and shoot the people. You know, if you're a Christian, you're not going to be standing on the other side of the street with a camera laughing about what just happened. You know that. You know that, and I know that. There may have been a time in our lives where we did rejoice in beating the daylights out of somebody, you know, on the other side of the street. There may have been a time, but you know, if you're born again, that is not a thrilling thing to you. That is not something you rejoice in, because love does not rejoice in evil. There is no rejoicing in evil if you have genuine love. And the only people that could have genuine love is the agape love of God that comes through faith in Jesus Christ, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. For the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So man may have a measure of love, but it's not the kind of love that God refers to when it comes to a person receiving true love. I mean, God's love is so far superior to any other kind of love. For there is written in the Word of God that someone would dare lay his life down for a friend, but God commended his love that while we were enemies, he died for us. So we're talking about a superior kind of intelligence, a superior kind of love that God is getting into the hearts of his kids. And so we just know that Christians are not truly born again Christians are not in the protest of destroying people's property, burning down buildings, breaking windows, looting stores. You cannot be a born again Christian and participant in that activity. You know that. You are not rejoicing in the brutality. You're not rejoicing in the realm of, yeah, this is great. What you're witnessing is a reality of end time events being fulfilled. And so you're observing all of these things. But what should that provoke in you? What should that provoke in me? We declare the Word of God, number one, that the superior intelligence of the Word of God is greater than any other intelligence. And all the people that are narrating or trying to produce these end time events, they have to know that they are only producing what God already said would be. Think about that. There's nothing authentic. There's nothing new under the sun. Mankind is simply working out what it would work out in the event it would reject the blood of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of God, the mercy of God, the salvation of Jesus Christ. You're not going to find it in Buddhism. You're not going to find it in Islam. You're not going to find it in Judaism without Christ. You're not going to find it in philosophy. You may become a higher evolved person with a mindset, but there's no salvation in Buddhism. There's no salvation in Islam. There's no salvation in Judaism apart from Christ. So the Christian community, if you're truly born again and not just religious, you know, there is another Jesus, another gospel, another spirit, and I understand that, and so do you, but I'm talking about the authentic, born again, bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, purchased, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb person who has been filled with the Holy Spirit, touched by the hand of God, and you just know, you're not a part of what's going on in this world. You don't show up to the rallies with a mask on to burn anything. You don't bring a baseball bat and smash in car windows. You don't do that if you're born again. You don't get involved in these things. So where are you? How do you live at a moment like this? You know, there's a frustration growing. There's a frustration growing. In fact, let me just read to you a couple of notes I penned out last night for you to think about. We are literally witnessing a stealth jihad becoming more and more visible. You'll remember Kalim Salim, these different individuals. There was a gentleman I used to, Waleed Shubat. I used to interview these guys when the Islamic thing was really rising. And they would tell us about the stealth jihad that was going on within our nation. And what that meant is that the jihad of the Islamic world was underway in America, but it was undercover. It was down below. It was a jihad of entering into the fabric of our society first. It was like termites actually getting into the wood of a building or a house. It was infiltration into our news media, infiltration into our government, infiltration into our school, infiltration into the media of every sort. It was a very stealth jihad where up here there were people protecting it because it was okay, but it was stealth. But what you're witnessing right now, if you're paying attention to what's going on in the different cities of America today, is that that stealth jihad is now becoming more and more visible. And how do I know that? Well, if you're watching any of the news at all, which I have to do, I'm forced to do it, to do what I do, to be able to look through a biblical lens at the signs of the times, what you're beginning to see in the rallies, in the protests, in the violence, people carrying flags or wearing hats or wearing the colors of Islam. That's right. The black, green, red, the Muslim reality of the Middle East is now seen go to Pennsylvania, where the latest protest was. Notice the flag that they're carrying, the BLM, the Antifa people. They're carrying the flag of the colors of Islam. It's very out in the open, in your face. So what I mean by the stealth jihad becoming more and more visible is that the real intent of infiltration into the fabric of a society eventually breeds the outbreak of the intended purpose. And so what you're witnessing with BLM and Antifa is an Islamic release, and it's growing. But like the proverbial frog in the pot, Americans are hardly able to rise. We think we're witnessing Americans doing all the damage. No, what we're witnessing is absent-minded Americans being taken over by a radical theology that are called to participate. So they cover the reality of the jihad. So they go, look at these white young American boys and girls. Look at these young boys and girls, these black young boys, these black young girls, these white young boys, these white young girls. Look at all these college students getting involved. And they are the front. They are the cover. But what we're seeing behind the scenes becoming a reality is what's motivating them. You know, it's very easy to radicalize a young person, but if you're a good enough speaker, you can rally people into all kinds of stuff. And that's what we're witnessing. But we are also seeing that Americans are hardly able to rise against what? Against the Islamic jihad, against the terror that you're seeing witnessed in your own society. Will there come, and here's a question I wrote out, will there come a provocation that will cause Americans to rise up against the anarchy and civil disobedience? Right now, most Americans are sitting down watching, and a lot of them have just tuned out. They're not even paying attention anymore to the riots, to Portland, to Seattle, to Los Angeles, San Diego, Chicago, Miami, on and on around the country. They're just blacking out to the reality. They just sat back and they witnessed the looting, the fires, the breaking windows, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they sat back. And we haven't seen any real opposition. We haven't even seen the police opposing all of the rioting. We've been watching everybody sit back and let them do. What are they doing? Well, will there come a provocation where Americans will begin to rise up against the anarchy and the civil disobedience? Police are being shot in the streets, and an all-out war is being fought in our country before our very eyes. It is coming closer and closer. The Grim Reaper is ready to strike, and the hunger of hell will be stirred. That's really sad. But when you step back and you think about it, you just begin to realize what's going on in our country. But what about the Christian? What about the individual? What about you? What about me, who are living in the world at this time on purpose, by design? We carry the banner of Jesus Christ. We report on what we see, but we always need to know what to do. We always need to know what to do. See, I believe that they're going to press and press and press and provoke, provoke, provoke until. Now, what are we doing in America? Rather than going to the city streets and condemning what they are doing, carrying their Islamic flag, because it is a jihad becoming visible, we're putting football back on the air. We're going to put baseball back out there. We want sports to come back, because sports been like an opioid or an opium to the masses, just like religion. Lenin once said, the opiate oil of the masses is religion. And that used to keep people calm down. And so between soothsaying and sports and religion, this is what kept the masses calm down, and they will use it, and it will come to pass. They want the Americans distracted. Don't pay attention to what just happened. you know, just be distracted. And that's what they're trying to do so that there's not a provocation. And what would the provocation be? Well, my God, you're shooting police officers in our country now, point blank, and the people across the street are cheering that on. So what do you do? Well, what should happen, you know what should happen in the horizontal battle, is that there should be authorization of the police to put an end to it. But then there would be the cry of what people said years ago, we are going to become a police state, a police state. Well, right now, I bet people wish we were a police state so that we would get back to normal. Is there any such thing anymore? So if we become a police state by allowing police to do their job, which is to arrest criminals, and, you know, I used to think, my God, if you set off a firecracker in the wrong place, you can go to jail. You know, you set a fire, you were an arsonist. If you broke somebody's window, you were a vandal, and there were consequences. And yet we're literally watching this because why? Why? Only God knows. Because those white racist police killed black men committing crimes. Lately, you heard the story in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. What broke out in the protest there was a man with a knife who had been convicted of killing four people last year with a knife, killed them, was back out on the streets again. He came out with a knife towards a police officer. The police officer turned around and shot him to save his own life. And he thought, okay, we're going to show the video that you could see the crazy man, the black man with a knife, and why he was shot. And that should have calmed everything down. I'm just quoting what Tucker Carlson said last night on his program. And it made a lot of sense. But rather than people going, yeah, I understand why the police officer would have shot the crazy man with the knife in his hand running at him, it broke out into violence. What does that mean? Where are we? What's really going on in our country? Where do Christians belong? What's happening? Where's the provocation? Now, somebody, it appears, somebody behind the scenes desires to provoke the American public into an all-out war against the demonstrations, whereas right now everybody's holding back, even the police. But somebody wants to turn this thing up. My personal view of what we're watching is what Jesus said. The time will come where nation will rise against nation. There will be violence. There will be anarchy. There will be civil disobedience. There will be war in the streets. The cities of the nations will burn to the ground. I mean, nothing is surprising of in the idea of, gee, what's going on here? What's happening? We know what's happening. America is under judgment. America has sinned against God. That's what's happening. We are now beginning to feel the sting of the consequence of our blasphemy, our hatred, our vitriol against the blood of Jesus. We have allowed Hollywood to portray the blasphemy on television screens. We've promoted every wicked thing in our society, from homosexuality to lesbianism to transgenderism, and it's moving towards pedophilia now, as Governor Newsom just allowed and signed off on the bill that a 24-year-old could have sex with a 14-year-old and not have to go to prison as a terrible offender of some sort. It's insanity. While California's on fire, Seattle's on fire, Oregon's on fire, and we're watching the burning of these things, which could be rebuilt. I know that you could burn something down and rebuild it, but there are people that are dying. There's a violence. There's an imagery that's being captured by the mind of Americans. And those who are denying it just want to watch football and just kind of black out. What I'm saying is that it's getting closer and closer and closer. The envelopment, it's as though the nation is being enveloped. And thank God for the prayer warriors. Thank God for the people that are praying and bringing the salvation message in the midst of this and baptizing people in the streets where they were once burning them down. Thank God for the spiritual battle that is being waged over the soul of man. Because remember what we said at the beginning. All this horizontal conflict between human beings is satanically motivated, because Satan, at the end of the day, although he'll have his worshipers, does not care 1 ounce for any human being on this earth, but will use every human being to destroy one another. That spirit of Satan has to work through the heart of man. And the heart of man that is not covered by the blood of Jesus, not protected by the blood of Jesus, will have no ability to resist the satanic pressure that is coming. And you're going to witness, like the Bible says, a humanity taken over by a spirit to bring about what God said would happen many, many years ago. When you stop and reflect of what's going on, what should happen is the police should be authorized. Martial law will probably be declared to clean up the cities. The cowards will probably scurry back into their holes. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe greater forces will come. And maybe there will be the beginning of World War III. Only God knows. Today in Washington, D.C., the signing of a peace accord with Arab nations, signing on with Israel. People are shouting, what does that mean? What does that mean? Is this Daniel chapter 9? What is this? Is this the signing of the peace treaty? Maybe. There's been a lot of speculation through the years. Peace and safety. Peace and safety. Sudden destruction comes. Where are we? Well, I want to share with you something that I believe is the proper approach to this moment. And even though we have to talk about the stuff that's going on, because it lines up with Scripture, we would be failing to do our assignment if we did not present to the people that are listening through a biblical lens what we're witnessing. And in order to do that, you have to show what's going on, okay? And a lot of people are doing that, by the way, through books, through programs, through podcasts, through pulpits. I mean, a lot of people are trying to wake people up and show them what's going on in the world is a sign of the times that we are living in and what we should be doing right now. And that's important. And I believe that. So when I mull all these things over, and I believe that things are not going back, things are not going to get better. They could have all the propaganda, all the opium they want. America is going into slavery, its own form of slavery. America is going into further judgment. And the further a nation goes into judgment without repenting and confessing their sin, the closer it gets to being totally broken. And the United States of America has chosen the path of brokenness. Rather than falling upon the rock and being broken in a good way, the rock is going to crush this nation because our leaders are refusing to confess our sin of mass murder, of shedding innocent blood, for promoting the most evil, wicked abomination Scripture has ever spoken of, the act of a man with a man and a woman with a woman, a man with a boy. It's the most grotesque defilement ever recorded in Scripture. And yet we promoted it in the face of God. And so we've allowed these things to go on. We've saturated our society with pornography. We have had a drug epidemic in our nation for a very long time, from crystal methamphetamine to freebasing cocaine to heroin addiction to opioids of every kind, legalizing marijuana, legalizing all these things. We have allowed the enemy to come in, and the whole nation again is being enveloped by this dark spirit. And the reality of the glory has departed, the glory has departed, that even the very best of them are as a briar. The glory is departing. But what does that mean? The glory is departing. Is the glory of God departing from your life? I'm looking at you right now. You're looking at me. I don't care what the enemies say. I thank God for enemies, because the enemies are the only people that really challenge our faith and provoke a contest, if you will. I don't care about enemies. I'm asking you, as I'm looking at you and you're looking at me, is the glory of Christ departing from your life in these times? And if it is, you need to be very honest about that. You need to ask yourself, has the glory departed? Am I feeling empty? Is the anointing gone? Is the glory gone? Is the joy of the Lord gone? Is the righteousness gone? The desire to be holy, is it gone? What's happening to me as an individual? There's an answer, and I want to share it with you today. And I want to begin in Colossians, the letter that Paul wrote to the saints at Colossae many thousands of years ago. And he penned these words that I believe, thank God, have been recorded and preserved for 2,000 years to give you and I an understanding about what we need to be doing right now, what the truth is. Okay? So in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, listen very carefully. If you, okay, you could look at me, I'll look at you, and it's us. If you then be risen with Christ, have you been raised from spiritual death into life in Christ Jesus? If you're born again, the answer is affirmative, yes. You were dead, as I was, in our sins and trespasses, according to Ephesians 2, but Christ quickened us. That means made us alive. So Paul again is saying, if you then be risen with Christ, because not only were we made alive, Ephesians 2 says that we are seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that when he rose from death, we rose with him. Okay? And as he is seated at the right hand of God in heaven, the Bible teaches we are seated within him. Okay? So if you then be risen with Christ, or you've been risen, made alive, illuminated, enlightened by the truth of the gospel, seek those things which are above. All right? You want to spend every day of your life doing what? Seeking the above things. What does that mean? It means to search out the heavenly things of God, the scriptures. What is God saying? He goes on to say, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. So he's saying, for you and I at this moment, I'm going to show you the strategy, why this is important. It's not just talking scriptures here. Scriptures are too powerful to do that. You and I are to be seeking things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. He said, set your affection on things above. Do you have any affection left in you? Any desire? He said, set that affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Don't let the things on the earth become the things that your affection is drawn to, but set your affection on the things above. Number one affection for the believer is what? Jesus himself. The Messiah himself, Yeshua himself, he is our ultimate affection. Father God is our ultimate affection. God, the deity, the Godhead, Holy Spirit, heaven, the angels, the reality of eternity, where people in that realm have no darkness in them. They don't die anymore. They don't get sick anymore. I mean, think about those things, right? Set your affection on things above, not on things in the earth. For you, come on, here's the mystery. Here's the strategy for today. For you are dead. You're dead to the things of this world. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. You use it, but you don't abuse it or depend upon it. Okay? For you are dead concerning the things of this life. And your life, the true, born again, new life that you and I have been granted, your life is hid with Christ in God. Where is your life? It's hid. The idea is to be hidden right now. Not to prematurely allow provocation to draw you in to a battle that's not yours. because you have affections for America. And a lot of patriots have an affection for a nation. They don't understand, obviously, that what's happening is judgment upon America, but their patriotism, their affection for America, without regarding the reality that, my God, the only patriotic thing to do is hit our knees and ask God to forgive us for allowing the atrocities and the crimes against God to go on. So the patriotism, the affections for a nation is going to draw people into the conflict, but not the true born-again spirit. The true born-again believer, their life, your life, my life, is hid in Christ, in God. You want to be hid right now. You desire, you should know that the wisdom for your life and my life isn't cowardice. We're not talking about hiding in fear. We're talking about the wisdom to wait for the right moment to be released. Now, you ever been, maybe there's 10 people in a group and they're hiding from 1,000 people that are passing by. Think about the imagery just for a moment. 1,000 warriors are passing by looking for these 10 people. And the idea of the 10 people is to remain hidden. Stay back. And if one person prematurely gives away their position, fires the shot, pulls the trigger because they're shaking in fear. We've seen it. And all of a sudden, they prematurely go into that battle. They're going to suffer the consequences. What the enemy is wanting to do to the Christians, because you do have to understand, while the devil hates all humanity, his major conflict is with Jesus Christ and everything that belongs to him, meaning his people, the church, the ecclesia. And the enemy is growing in his animosity, his enmity, his hostility against everything Christian, true Christianity. I'm not talking about the other stuff, true Christianity. So the adversary is trying to draw people out to give an excuse. Now, you remember the night of the broken glass in Germany? Remember what happened in the night of the broken glass on November 9th, 1936 or 7, I'll get the dates right, but during the Nazi regime, a Jewish 17-year-old Jewish boy was in Paris, France. He couldn't take anymore what was going on, so he assassinated a ranking Nazi individual. Adolf Hitler went to the funeral of this ranking Nazi official that was assassinated by a 17-year-old boy. They used that to go into the Jewish community in Germany and burn down the houses, break the windows, and all of a sudden legislation was informed. No Jews could work. They can't buy. They can't sell. They could do no business. I mean, it sparked that one individual that fought back, and it led to the night of broken glass. And that was the turning point that began the Jewish extermination known as the final solution. The final solution. What you're being told right now as a born-again believer is to do what the scriptures say in the book of Revelation. Here is the patience of the saints. What does that mean? In context, don't be provoked and drawn out prematurely in this moment. It has nothing to do with coward. It has nothing to do with being afraid. It has everything to do with strategic wisdom that you hold your position as a believer in this world, being salt and light, continuing on to learn how to love your enemies, Pray for those who despitefully use you. Bless those who curse you. Turn the other cheek. Go the extra mile. Give your coat along with your shirt. There is wisdom in waiting. When Jesus returns in Revelation 19 with his armies, that'll be the release under his command. Okay? Point. Your life, my life, is to be hid in Christ. There's nothing wrong. If God wants us to be hidden in him, then we be hidden in him. This should be something that begins to form in your thinking and mine. I'm in the world, I'm not of the world. I'm walking dead to the affections. The only thing I desire, which is a heavenly affection, is to bring souls to faith in Christ, which is being led by the Holy Spirit, not just absentmindedly going out like we used to do. Hey, let's hit the streets and tell everybody about Jesus. No, it's a leading of the Spirit as we go every day. We don't formulate it, put it on a calendar, a book. We're going out Friday night. No, it's every day, everywhere you go, thinking about the affections of Christ and the things of God, walking in the fruit of the Holy Spirit, walking in the joy of the Lord, walking in patience and kindness and working it out, putting off things, which we're going to talk about in a moment, and being on assignment for the Lord to win souls into the kingdom, and then doing our job, loving our families, thanking God for everything we have. We have a roof over our head. We have a vehicle to drive. We have food in the cupboard. We have clothes on our back. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. We don't take it for granted because many people don't have that. Okay? And the time may come when all those things are stripped away. The time of living in our neighborhood homes will be gone. We may be a people on the move, going into the wilderness, into the mountains, into the deserts. We may be a people that are inconvenienced, like the Jewish people in Nazi Germany, when the Night of Broken Glass earmarked the time of concentration camp persecution style stuff. It's coming to America. Christians will be persecuted in the United States of America. Somehow, some way, an evil power will rise in the United States and begin to oppose everything Christ. You're beginning to see it all around you right now. Understanding these things is important. But we're not trying to save a nation that God has said is going to be broken because of its crimes, its sins, not just unintentional sin. The problem with America is the very real intentional war it made against God. In the government, we don't want prayer. We don't want Bibles. We don't want this in our schools. We don't want this anymore. It was once here. So the war began in the 1960s. You know the story. We started taking LSD, having free sex out in the open fields, produced a lot of babies. We didn't want the babies. So we allowed abortion, the mass murder of innocent blood. We went into an infamous war of Vietnam, saw 52,000 young American boys killed in a war that made no sense because the psychology was darkened because of the sins and the blasphemy that began to be promoted. We move into fast forward where we are today, and you know the numbers go back and forth. The reality is, who knows how many hundreds of millions of little babies' lives were murdered in the wombs. We know of the blasphemy of the governors of New York and the legislative branch of government in California, that you can now have sex with a minor and not be in so much trouble. You could have a baby, full-term abortion, put it on the table, wait out the decision of the parent, and if you don't want it, you kill it while it's living on the table. No. So we witness these things, we see these things from the view of Scripture, and we're hid. Okay? We're hid. We have homes. We eat food. We have clothes. We have jobs. We're good citizens. We labor to get out of debt. If we got into debt, get out of debt. We want to do things that honor God. We want to gather ourselves together as a Christian community wherever we are. We want to break bread. We want to learn how to serve one another, be kind to one another, appreciate and value one another. We want everybody to pull their weight, everybody to do their part, not to become a problem for the community, so to speak. And yet, even Jesus had a Judas Iscariot in his midst. I mean, that's really sad stuff. And it's not surprising that things will happen, but God allows them to happen, okay? But for the most part, we move on. For the most part, we move on. So we're hid. What does that mean? At New Wine Ministries, 3 days ago, Saturday night, we had a service at New Wine Ministries in Northwest Arkansas. I was down in Little Rock. I wasn't there for that Saturday evening service. Sunday, when everybody came into the church to get things set up for our Sunday afternoon, 2 o'clock in the afternoon service, the equipment was gone. Somebody stole our sound system. They stole a very meaningful guitar from one of our musicians. It had a lot of history behind it. It's a beautiful guitar. It was left overnight because we were just going to do what we've done for the last number of years. A keyboard was stolen. Amplifiers, microphones, 2 sound systems in the back. Now, we share this building with 2 other ministries, but for the most part, those 2 other ministries have not had their meetings for the most part. Somebody, it appears, kept a door open with a lock because it's usually a locked door. So it was a well thought out crime. When we heard that the building had been robbed for the second time, we warned the first time the owners of the building, you need to get security cameras. You need to do that. And they didn't, for whatever reason. It's their building. It's not ours. It's their stuff that's being stolen, not ours. But we all used that stuff and paid for parts of it. The cool thing was, is that the church, when we heard it, made a decision. Number one, we're going to forgive the thief. I said he ought to get caught and slapped upside his head. That's probably not the best advice. Somebody should have told him, what are you doing opposing God by stealing from a church? But the true reality of the combination of the church, the wholeness, was we're going to forgive whoever did it because it's only stuff. And we're not going to be provoked into offense in our hearts. We're not going to get angry. We're not going to go looking for them. We're going to leave that to the police to do their job. And we'll see what happens. Regardless, that's it. Most likely, the person, if they ever got caught and it was up to New Wine Ministries, we probably wouldn't press charges. We would have just said to the thief, hey, if you needed that stuff, just ask. We're a generous congregation. We could have helped you. So someone said, well, maybe it wasn't just out of need. Maybe it's a more deliberate spirit. Maybe it's out of anger, envy. Maybe there's something else behind the scenes in operation. Maybe. And we would want to know, what is it? What's provoking this kind of behavior? You can't go out to the city streets that are being burned to the ground and try to have a conversation and put your arm around some people and say, hey, what's your problem? What's the provocation? You know, why are you burning down cities? The number 2 concern that we had at New Wine Ministries for this robbery, was there anything we have done corporately to open a door? And again, the only thing that was stolen belonged to one musician that left his guitar overnight. As far as the church's personal property, nothing else was ours in that sense, but we paid to use everything and it's gone. Now, the problem with that, we thought, was, well, we won't be able to live stream some of the meetings for the Feast of Tabernacles. But then we realized the good news was they stole an old system. We had bought a brand new one that was still on its way and hadn't arrived yet. Now, of course, the security cameras are going up and they're going to do what needed to be done, and locks are being changed, and now there'll be security. And so when the new stuff comes in, that one sound system, we can't replace the guitar, you can't replace the piano, you can't replace the amplifiers and the microphones, except, of course, for purchasing them. But that was a concern. And so we have to stay hid regardless of what happens. You have to stay hid. What does that mean? It means to stay back. Self-control, forgiveness, mercy, kindness, love, joy. Those fruits are not suggestions. Those fruits of the Spirit are what is going to keep us alive and not lose salvation. You say, lose salvation? Yes. Scriptures actually point to a person that has a walk with God, with the Holy Spirit, but they begin to turn away from the Holy Spirit and they begin to become influenced by the worldly things to the degree they actually grieve the Spirit, quench the Spirit. They've turned away from the Spirit. They've abandoned the Spirit. That's what is being set up against Christians all around the world. Go to Nigeria. I mean, they would probably want to fight back and hate and punch back or something for what's being done against them. Americans are pretty spoiled people for the most part. We don't like it when somebody cuts us off on the freeway, for goodness sake, let alone other sins against our lives. Stealing is a very deep violation. It's a ugly spiritual influence. It's a violation of your, you know, what you think is yours. We boast in America, you know, we're people and we have property rights and these things belong to us. And so stealing is so deeply condemned, and yet it's going on everywhere. Again, the stuff was taken. Nobody was hurt. Praise God. But you stay hid and you continue on to do what is right. I suspect that stealing is going to be a very small thing in comparison to what is coming. We've seen it. We've seen the previews. I know we don't like to talk about it. We've seen a church in Texas, a Baptist church, on a Sunday morning gathering to worship, and a man taking an AK-47 into the church and slaughtering many lives in that church. We've seen a white young man travel hours to South Carolina to a Bible study. Black pastor and the black congregation was having a Bible study. He sat with them. And after the Bible study, he took out his weapon and killed 12 or 13 people. We've seen active shooter situations. We've seen violence erupt. The wisdom of Scripture is lose your affection for the things of this world. It amazes me when God told Ezekiel, the prophet, your wife is going to die, but I don't want you to show any emotion. Don't mourn for her. He loved his wife. What that is saying, I'm not saying anybody's wife is going to die around here. What I'm saying, or husband, is that this is how you abandon your affection for a nation. Now, God was telling Ezekiel, your nation's under judgment, Ezekiel. That's why I'm having you prophesy this message to it. And I'm going to teach you not to have any affections for a nation that has sinned against me, because I'm going to show you what they've done. And what we do by preaching the word of God, we show how our nation has offended God so deeply, offended him, sinned against him, and how God would say to his people, set back, be hidden, let your affections, your internal environment be for the things of God in the heavenlies, the eternal things of God. Let your love for human beings be evident by being salt and light. Don't be provoked into any scenario that is not Christ-centered. even when bad things happen. This is what the writer in Colossians says as we continue on in verse 3. He said, "For you are dead, your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory." Now watch, he's saying you're hidden. Keep your affections on things above, not on things beneath. Then he gets into what we can be doing while we're on the earth, while our life is hid in Christ, in God, while our affections are upon heavenly things. Here's what you do, he said in verse 5. "Mortify," which means kill, "therefore your members which are upon the earth." And what members does he refer to? Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection. That's having affections for things you shouldn't have affection for. Evil, concupiscence, lewdness, lust, covetousness. What's he saying to do with these? Kill them. Kill these attitudes of the heart. Kill these spirits in the soul, these emotions. Kill covetousness, which is idolatry. "For which things," these things we just mentioned, "sake, the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience." So to operate in any of those draws the wrath of God. So he says, while you're on the earth, your life being hid in Christ, deal with these situations so the wrath of God doesn't come on you. It's something to be doing rather than just watching TV, eating popcorn. It's called working out your salvation with fear and trembling. Then he goes on in verse 7 and says, "In the which you also walk sometime." Here's the pure admission. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all walked in disobedience at a time in our lives. But he says, "When you lived in them," you lived in that mindset of covetousness, idolatry, inordinate affection, lust, and all these different things. He said, "But now you also put off all these." So he's going to go deeper. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. "Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." Now, this new man, he goes on to say, there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision, uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all who believe. What is the instruction? What are you and I to be doing right now? We're not to have our affections on the things of this earth. We're to have our affections on the heavenly realm, to allow that affection to move us in the earth, to win souls, to share love, to live according to God's will for our lives. All the instructions of the new covenant, the Torah, if you will, of the new covenant, we're to live in all that. Along the way, we're to be putting to death that old man and his deeds, not engaging, okay? And that new man that's renewed in knowledge after the image of him who created him, that new spiritual reality on the inside of all believers, it's not male, it's not female, it's not Jewish, it's not Greek, it's not Scythian, barbarian, bond free, it's Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The new born-again reality for the believer is Christ in us. Now, we're living in that Christ. We're hidden in that Christ. We're walking in that Christ. While all is going on this earth as an end time generation, a people literally living in the last moments of time. And we are being provoked to engage so that we may lose our salvation. Oh, yes. The pirates on the Sea of Life understand that you carry the cargo of Christ and they want it gone. They want to break it, steal it, destroy it. The treasure of Christ in your heart is what they're after. And they want you to make a premature move. And if you do, it may cost you your life. But like that 17-year-old boy who shot that German official in Paris, France in the 1930s, sparked the Night of Broken Glass, which began the Nazi concentration camp Final Solution against all the Jewish people that were in Nazi Germany, or the Israelites that were in Nazi Germany. Verse 12 of Colossians chapter 3 says, put on therefore as the elect of God. So again, you and I have to put it on, and you and I have to put off some things. He said, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved. That's who we are, holy and beloved. Bowels of mercies. That's what we're to put on. Bowels of mercies, compassion. He said, not only bowels of mercies, but of kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Think about these attitudes, because that's what he's telling us to put on. We're not going into the closet and putting on a shirt or a pair of pants. We're putting on a nature, a character. And you say, what is kindness? And we all give the definition. Kindness is, and we get an image. So now I'm going to put it on and I'm going to start being kind, as I understand kindness to be. If kindness means this, well, then I'm going to actually do it. If humbleness of mind looks like this, I want to do it. I'm going to operate in it. If bowels of mercies and compassion for those sinners looks like this, I'm going to do it. If meekness looks like this, I mean, I hear the definition, but I see it. I'm going to put it on. I'm going to do it, right? If long suffering is this, here's the definition of long suffering, and I could sense it, what it looks like, I get it, I'm going to do it. This is putting it on. And then verse 13 says, forbearing one another means being patient with each other, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. Notice that in context, the instruction is to the ecclesia in Colossae, but it's for all of the ecclesia, the church, the called out ones, God's people. These are the instructions for the body of Christ at a time when the world is going insane. And what is he saying? Okay, you're hid in Christ. You don't have affections for the world. Your affections are for the kingdom of God. The people that you're walking with are kingdom people. And so here's what I want you guys to do towards each other. I want you to put on bowels of mercies. I want you to put on kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering towards one another, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. You know, environments amongst communities of believers are very powerful. And when someone in the community gets everybody upset, that atmosphere lingers and you could feel it. You could sense it. You know it's there. There's a lingering of, I haven't forgiven this person yet. I want you to know every moment that passes where unforgiveness is in the heart, not in the words, I'm telling everybody I forgave, but inside, if it's not there, where you can embrace that person and really show the love of God, And if they do it 70 times a day times 7, 490 times a day, we're called to do what? Forgive them 490 days. So if we don't, if we take a position in our hearts of not forgiving, holding at arm's length, every single moment we're allowing the enemy to operate in his own stealth jihad against that community. So these aren't just whimsical instructions. This is strategy for survival. Now, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So here's the measure of how we're to forgive. To what degree do I forgive? I hear it all the time. How can I forgive? What kind of forgiveness? The way that Christ forgave you for what you did on your worst day, or I did. That's how we're to forgive. Now, how do I do that? How do I really forgive the offender? How do I do that? How did Christ forgive you? Is he holding a grudge? Has he written all your crimes in the book and holding them on there? So if you do it again, I'm going to show you again. Has he stiff-armed you? Has he created an environment of lack of intimacy, relationship? It happens in marriages. It happens in families. It happens at work. It happens in the church. It's everywhere. But we're told, because we're Christians, to operate in a certain manner. Now, if you have a quarrel against any, forgive as Christ forgave you. And above all these things, this is for those of you that are taking this course with me today. Above all these things that were just mentioned, put on charity, which is the bondness. What is it that perfects love? What is it that perfects relationship? What is the bond that holds it all together? It's love. It's charity. Showing kind deeds to the body of Christ. I know people take this message and they go out in the world and give it to everybody in the world. They give it to their unredeemed families, but they don't offer it in their own body or community. This is something we have to examine ourselves in. Where's my heart in reality? What's going on down there? Am I so ticked off? You got to figure it out. You'll know, by the way, when gossip begins or talk about a person begins to move through the camp and ideas are formed and attitudes are formed, you know that Satan is making his way into that community or into that family or into that business. Believe me, this stuff goes on everywhere. But Christians are told by God in Torah that we are to use wisdom and spiritual intelligence to give the devil no opportunity to hurt anybody. There is rebuke. There is reproof. There are ways that we're to do things. If your brother offends you, go to your brother, not another brother or sister. Go to the brother that offended you. Talk to him alone. Don't even share it with anybody else. Don't even let anybody else know that you were offended by your brother or sister. That's wisdom. That's spiritual intelligence that will not give the devil opportunity to hurt people in that community. In verse 15 says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Sometimes you just want to say, hey, you know what? We haven't been doing this right. We need a do-over. Father God, is there mercy? Can we kind of bring everything the way we've done it because we haven't done it right? Can we bring that to a close and start new? Can we do it over now that we know we knew it in our head, epignosis, scientific knowledge? I knew what it said, but I didn't know it intimately by doing it and experiencing doing it. Can we start over again? Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body. See, he's talking to the church. We are one body. The Feast of Tabernacles that's coming up, it's all about unity, oneness, tabernacles. It's bringing a nation of tribes together as one. And what are we going to do? Have this outward thing of we're all together in the same place, but have issues in the heart towards one another, uncomfortableness, lack of love, desire. Now, that's not going to produce anything. God's not going to honor or bless that. So we need to get it cleaned up, whatever it is, right? And the final thing here, and be ye thankful. Be thankful that you have a job. Be thankful that you have a car, that you have money, that you have clothes, you have food. Be thankful that you're part of a church or an ecclesia or a community of believers that you're doing life with, that you could have them pray for you. You know, last night at New Wine Ministries, they had a prayer meeting, started at 7 o'clock. And I'm going to tell you, by around 7:30 or so, our world changed. Patricia and I had to go shopping at Walmart. The energy, I don't know what they were praying. I haven't talked to anybody yet. I don't know what the New Wine Ministry Church was praying, but I know they were praying for their pastors. And I was absolutely electrified. I had so much energy, anointing, joy, peace. I was in a realm, and I knew it for a moment. I got, my God, they're praying for us right now. The power of prayer. It was amazing. I am so thankful, honest to God, to be in a community of people that know how to pray, man. It was awesome. It was awesome. Verse 16 goes on to say, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. This is the word. You're getting this, right? This is the word of Christ. This isn't the word of Vincent or anybody else. This is the word of Christ. And he says, let it dwell in you richly. Rich, 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 wealthy. Let it dwell in you richly. In all wisdom. So let this word be wisdom for your survival and thriving on the vine rather than just hanging on. No, this word will cause you to be wealthy, survive, and thrive in the midst of trouble. You'll prosper in the midst of pandemic. So let it dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. That's what we're to be talking about. You want to talk? Teach, admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Come on, you don't have to wait till Saturday night or Sunday or Wednesday. I give praises to your name, oh Lord. Why? Because I'm thankful, God. My mind is set on you. My affection is set on you. I have eternal life. When I give up my last breath and I die, I'm going to be with you. I'm going into eternal life with eternal promises of all these glorious things. Lord, thank you. And this is where we live. Now, where is this happening? Where you live, in the midst of the chaos. The devil wants to draw you out into the chaos. Because you're going to lose all this beauty here that we're talking about. He wants you to be in a different environment. He wants you anxious. He wants you tense. He wants you afraid. He wants you standing up rather than just being hid. Telling you the wisdom of God. Sing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Nourish one another. Admonish one another. Teach one another. Talk to one another in psalms and hymns. Share the word of God. And verse 17 says, and whatsoever you do in word or deed. So whatever you do, whether it's your job, whatever it is, marriage, family, whatever you do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Man, this is the call. Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do it as unto the Lord. Do it as unto the Lord. Let him be the one you're impressing. Let him be the one that you're getting his attention. Don't try to impress anybody else. Don't try to do it for that reason. I mean, you will, as you do it under the Lord, you will impress other people. When you do it as unto the Lord, you're going to put your best into it because you want to do things unto the Lord with excellence. So as you're doing it unto the Lord, obviously it's going to affect everything else down here. So do in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Yeah, we're not done yet. I want to go a little bit further. But this is the rich wisdom of Scripture, giving us spiritual intelligence, what to be doing right now while everything is happening. Peace treaties being signed in Washington, D.C., fires breaking out in California, hurricanes forming off the coast or in the Gulf Coast, anarchy and civil disobedience rising, coronavirus claiming the lives, and now they're saying it's going to double up by December. A violent election coming down the pike. Where are you going to be? Geographically, it doesn't matter. Primarily what matters is that you are hid in Christ. Your life is in Christ, and you're internally worshiping him, praising him, thanking him. You're safe in him. Don't be provoked to engage in anything that will pull you out of the environment that we just talked about, which is full of love and kindness, patience, forbearance, forgiveness. Stay in that environment. Don't embrace secret sin. Don't smile at somebody but have angst in your heart towards them. Don't be two-faced, hypocritical. Follow the instructions and create an environment, a world in the community of believers that you belong to that would so resemble what Christ desires for us. He's showing us how to do it. And then he just closes in on this. I thought it was interesting because it gets real. Wives, verse 18, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. In other words, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. Don't rule them. Don't insult them. Submit to them. Allow their authority to be in your life. This is fitting in the Lord, acceptable. Doesn't mean they rule over you with a rod of iron. You're shoulder to shoulder with them. You came out of the side. You have opportunity to get in their face, to help them, to be a guard to their heart. That's why you're a rib. But submit to their authority as the head. Wives, you are not the head. You will never be the head. If you become the head of a man, you're a Jezebel. Period. And men don't have to lord over their wives to be the head. You are the head. So rule well. Let your headship benefit your wives. I mean, he goes on to say, husbands, love your wives. And if you're a good head, you'll be thinking about what is going to bless your wife, your kids. So husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. I always thought, what a strange thing that was written. That bitterness goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. When Eve partook, and then Adam went his way, and he partook, and they both fell, and they went into hell. I think bitterness may have gotten to men's hearts. You go to Muslim nations today, they put women in burqas, and they put them on leashes, and they whip them like dogs. They're told that they give dogs better food than their women. That's bitterness. So the admonition to all men, get rid of that bitter root towards your wives for whatever reason. Children, obey your parents in all things. For how long? Till you leave the house? Well, honor them forever. But in their house, under their authority, obey them. In the church, there should be the same order. But children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. So if you're a child and you're still under the instruction of your parents, they tell you to do something, do it as unto the Lord, because this pleases the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Same in the church. The father's hearts. Don't provoke. Don't discourage the kids. 22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers. So in other words, when you go to work and you have a boss, do what? Obey them. Do the job right, not as with eye service or as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. So you're working, you have a master, a boss, whatever. We don't have slavery today so much. So we have this, you're in subjection. You don't talk behind your boss's back. You don't say, that guy's an idiot. You don't do a half-hearted job. You know, the guys that are doing a little work in New Wine Ministries, they're doing it with such excellence. I mean, they're doing it as unto the Lord. It's just amazing. I can't go into that right now. But he says, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Ever live unto men. Do it as unto the Lord, and you're going to be a blessing to people. Guaranteed. It's sad that people won't do stuff as unto the Lord. Anyways, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. There's a blessing behind all of this. For you serve the Lord Christ. You serve the Lord Christ. You're not on this earth to serve any man in the primary sense. You serve by serving the Lord. You serve, we serve one another by serving the Lord. Because that's what he wants us to do. So it begins and originates with him. Don't be a man pleaser. Don't do things with, hey, are you seeing me? Man, we've all got that pride. We do something, we go, hey, did you see that? And that's horizontal. You need to say, Lord, did you see that? Lord, did you see that? And maybe nobody saw it, but God saw it. He'll reward you openly. But he that does wrong, finishing up, shall receive for the wrong which he has done, and there is no respect of persons. Don't think for a second anybody's getting away with anything. Well, it's hard to believe that we've been talking for an hour and 26 minutes. I'm going to get to some of our chats over here on the chat room in Blog Talk or in Mamma Mia. Where are we? Facebook and YouTube. I see Reynolds Frau sharing with Philippines, Singapore, UAE, Saudi Arabia, and Australia. Thank you for sharing, Reynolds Frau. Shalom to you. God bless you. All the nations and people. Sharon Evans, good morning. Kevin Halger, good morning to all listening and watching. I hope you all have a blessed day. Thank you. Reynolds said again, please pray for all children that have no parents. They died from the virus, war, hunger, victims of gang violence. Okay, Reynolds, we will pray, and that needs to be prayed for. Christians are being persecuted around the world every day, Reynolds said. I agree. Cindy says, good morning. Good morning both to Sharon and Cindy. Reynolds goes on to say, orphan children will be raptured and everyone will be left behind, including Christians who did not do anything to help stranded children around the world. Okay, Reynolds, we see that. Kathy Bruns, good morning. Kenneth Bruns, we'll see you in 10 days. Wow, 10 days. The Feast of Tabernacles is coming on quick. G. Lawrence says, Sister Lawrence, amen. We are all image bearers. We have one enemy, not the Democrats, but the demons. We agree. Brenda Torville says, good morning. Good morning to you, Brenda. Keith Carey from Ohio, good morning, Pastor and Sonia, Kevin and Carol. Good morning to you, Keith. God bless you. Reynolds says again, churchgoers should give food to the hungry and build tiny homes for the homeless. Hey, I totally agree with that. And I think there's a lot of that being done around the world. Unfortunately, there are those that misuse and abuse people giving to them. and it's not a happy thing. But we got to work beyond that. I agree. Kenneth Brun says, sorry, I missed. Counted it 17 days. I must be in a hurry. 17 days. That's what I thought, Ken. Way to go. All right. Reynolds says, mankind has been reduced to nothing and nowhere to go except self-destruction. You're right about that, Reynolds. Keith says, good morning also to Kathy. Keith says, the glory in our lives is not gone, but thriving through his Holy Spirit. We continue to set our mind on the things above. Way to go, Keith. Ian says, America has been sold a self-seeking gospel of prosperity by the lips of Satan himself. The prophet Isaiah had it right when he said, his watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yes, they are greedy dogs which never have enough, and they are shepherds who cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one of his own gain from his own territory. Come, one says, I will bring wine, and we will drink, I guess is the end of that. Right on, Ian. Well said. Maria Atterbury, that's terrible. You're right. It is terrible. Kim says, yep. All right, Kim. Kim, love. Antichrist stopping the worship. Yatada of God. I'm not sure what Yatada of God is, Kim, but tell us. Cindy says, amen. The River Christian Center. I'm believing this is Pastor Jeff out in Virginia. Good morning, Pastor Jeff. Good morning from Manassas, Virginia. That's correct. He says, I'm watching, praying, and fasting this week as they sign the accord in a few hours. I believe bad things are about to happen as a result of this agreement. Let's keep praying. Pastor Jeff, we're going to do it. Pastor Jeff, thanks for that heads up. Cindy says, dying to self. Amen and amen. Marissa says, I miss church on Sunday due to a family gathering celebrating my husband's birthday. I love my church family. Thank you, Marissa. We love you too. She's saying, I was saying it was terrible about the robbery, just to clarify. Thank you. Now I understand. It was a terrible thing. Shirley Woolsey says, we are in Texas. Hello, Shirley. God bless you. Hopefully we'll be seeing many of you coming up to the Feast of Tabernacles very soon. Keith Carey says, thanks, Marissa. God bless you. Psalm 34, his praise shall continually be in my mouth, still working on continually. We all are. God bless you. Denny says, good morning, Pastor and Saints. This is Sally. So Denny and Sally. Spot on about to not be unforgiving towards anyone, especially the household of faith. Otherwise, I'm giving permission for a personal jihad to take place. You're right on. We need to be cautious about that. Melissa Fletcher says, good morning and amen. Good morning to you. And then Bonnie Boyer. Well, good morning, everyone, from Estacada, Oregon. I'll have to watch you later. So glad I can. It's burning out there, isn't it, Bonnie? I know you have a lot to share on that. We have a call coming in. That's it for the comments for right now. Let's take this call coming in from area code 479-321. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Pastor Vincent, how are you?
I am well, sir. How are you?
Good, good. I noticed, or I talked to Ian the other day, trying to learn how to play the shofar, because sundown Friday begins the Feast of Trumpets into Saturday.
You're right on. This coming Friday at sunset, we are going to be gathering together at the church building in Bella Vista, and there's going to be a number of people blowing shofar. Welcome the Feast, or Rosh Hashanah, which is the head of the month, the head of the year in that economy. So really, it's the first day of the seventh month in the Hebrew calendar, Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets. It's an amazing spiritual understanding as well. We'll be sharing a little bit about that. And then, Phil, that ushers in, according to rabbinic teaching, the 10 days of awe, which are the 10 days of inward self-examination of the heart. That brings us to the 10th day of the seventh month, which is Yom Kippur. We know it is the Day of Atonement, where the atonement is made for our sins. And then 4 days of preparation that lead us to the Great Feast of Tabernacles, which is the greatest feast and celebration in Scripture, always preparing us in rehearsal for the great advent of Christ, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Thank you for reminding us about that. We're going to talk more about that as we go, Phil.
Are we going to meet 7 o'clock Friday?
We're meeting at 7 o'clock Friday at the church. That is correct. Bring your shofar.
Okay. I've got an app on my phone for that.
Oh, good, good. I can't wait to hear. The Yaps are awesome. I've heard some pretty phenomenal sounds coming out of those ram's horns. When we were in Israel, we bought a few, and they are awesome. It's just getting that sound. You got to get it out. Okay. All right. Anything else, sir?
No, have a good day.
Thank you. God bless you. You have a good day as well. It's our elder, Phil, at New Wine Ministries. All right. It looks like we're done here today. No more calls, no more chats in the chat room. So we're going to say goodbye tomorrow. Daniel Seckham will be joining us from Australia. We'll get into some other territory. I trust that today that this conversation was useful and helpful to you. There is a round table discussion going on right now on omegaradio.org. That's omegaradio.org, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There's a roundtable discussion with Patricia Joy Xavier out of her book, Deliverance, The Christian Bill of Rights, with her roundtable discussion. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless everybody. Shalom.